Good morning. Certainly glad to see everyone who is here today. If you will, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking primarily at two people that are mentioned in this particular chapter. This chapter is called is often called the Hall of Faith of, or the Hall of Fame of Faith, if you prefer, of the Scriptures. It talks about a lot of Old Testament people that have had such faith. And we're going to talk about at least two of them here today. In verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. And we must, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So, in order for us to have any kind of benefit at all from God, we must first believe that he is, that he exists. And we must also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we diligently seek him, what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7? "Ask, and it will be answered. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened." Right? So if you seek, you will find. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. One of the things that we, as humans, often like to do is we often like to go on adventures, don't we? Have you ever been driving around with somebody and you, of course, before the era of GPS, and you were driving around and you didn't have a map with you, or it would take too long, too much effort to look at a map, and you're like, "Well, I don't know where we're going. Why don't we just go on an adventure?" Well, sometimes we do that. Some people go on legitimate adventures. They go on things. They go through Europe, backpacking through Europe. Some people spend time in Antarctica. I know some people who have spent 6 months down there at a time, and that is rough. Planes can't even get in there. It's especially during the winter time. It is a terrible place to spend some time, but it's an adventure. It's an adventure. Some people love to climb Mount Everest. Of course, in our own country's history, we've had plenty of people who went out pioneering out west. We had people from Europe coming over here to settle this land here. And it was an adventure. They had no idea what life would bring in store, what that adventure would, what adventure would come from that. And then some have even gone through adventures, as it were, for the cause of Christ. In 1979, in Soviet Russia, there was a woman, 24 years old, by the name of Galina, who was imprisoned for the gospel's sake. She was trying to teach others the gospel, and she was imprisoned for it, and she was tortured. And when she was asked, "Why don't you just go to the state church, the state-sponsored church?" She's like, "I want to serve the God. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what he says." And so she was in that particular state. We have people in the Middle East now who are believers in Christ who are being executed for it. It's an adventure, as it were. Now, sometimes we think of adventures as good things. And you know what it is? When we're adventuring for our faith, that is a good thing. We have two young Christians who get married. They don't know what the future will hold. They don't know, what if that person snores a lot when they sleep? What if that person never puts their clothes in the hamper? What if that person leaves things lying around all the time? What if that person leaves a lot of clutter? What if somebody has a bunch of shavings from their beard all over the sink? What if that happens? What if that person becomes unfaithful? What if that person will never see eye to eye with you on how to raise your kids? What if that person dies? What will happen? What will happen to me? What if I die? What will happen to my family? We don't know what the future holds, but it's an adventure, isn't it? We know that if we are faithful to Christ, divorce is not an option when we're married. If we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we're remaining faithful to our spouse and faithful to God, divorce is not an option. We all have adventures in our life. We all have doubts in our life. And it's not a dull existence. Let's consider these biblical examples that we have here. The first one here is Abraham. Abraham had an adventure, wouldn't you say? Let's look at verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive, which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. It's kind of like our example earlier of the couple or whoever is going out without GPS, without a map. Let's go on an adventure today. Who knows where we'll end up? Not everybody's like that, of course. Some people are more meticulous about planning where they're going. Some people will say that we have this itinerary. We're going on a vacation. We're going to do this, 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 and this. And they have everything planned out. What was the saying? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Doesn't always go out the way you expect, does it? Especially life. Life never goes the way you expect. But Abraham, you know, if we were in that situation, if we were in the situation that Abraham was in, what would you do? Well, God, where am I going? You want me to go west? Well, that's interesting, but why? Where am I going? What's the purpose? You want me to leave what we're doing here? But I mean, it doesn't. Can I get something? You know, I have a family to take care of. At least I have a wife, and I have my father to look after. I need something. I need more than just go. Well, he was given promises there in Genesis chapter 14. And you know what? He believed those promises. Would we be so brave as Abraham to go off into a land we didn't know if God told us to? Or would we argue with him? Abraham had such a great faith. Not to mention when his son Isaac was born. Or the news of his son was to be, that he would have a son. We talked about that in class today. That his wife was beyond the age of childbearing. And yet, she had a son. It was promised. And he believed in God. What about when Abraham was told to sacrifice his son? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he, who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. I had a discussion with someone the other day that if somebody were to rise up and try to kill their son today, we would think they were crazy. And you know what? We would think they were crazy, wouldn't you? We would certainly think that somebody said, "Well, God told me to kill my son." Yeah, we would think they were nuts. We would want to send them away. We want to take their child away. I mean, that is something that is just absurd. But you don't want to know something? Faith is absurd. Faith is absurd. Think about it. Think about it for a second. You really believe in the Bible? That the Bible is God's word? That the Bible is inerrant? Well, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, that book is thousands of years old. And yet there's no errors in it? There's no contradictions? You believe that? Well, yes. You really believe that there were people who lived 900 years a few thousand years ago? Yes. Yeah, that's crazy. You really believe there was a worldwide flood that covered the whole earth? Yes, I do. you really believe that God himself came down to earth in the form of a man and lived here on this earth for 30 years? Yes, I believe that. That's kind of absurd, isn't it? God himself lived here? It's kind of absurd that he was willing to die on the cross for us, isn't it? It's even more absurd that he raised himself from the dead. Faith is absurd. Faith is kind of weird, at least from the perspective of the world. Faith to us is an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing to believe in God, to put your whole life in his hands. Like that woman I mentioned earlier in Russia. She could have lived a comfortable life, but she was a bit nuts by the world's standards. And she said, I wanted to serve God. And so she was in prison and tortured for it. For years. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 that people aren't supposed to be divorced, let it, what God has put together, let not man separate. What did the disciples say? They said, this is too much. We can't do this. This is too much. And for some people, it is too much. But if we have faith in God, we'll do what he says. We'll obey him. We'll stay together. Till death do us part, right? Isn't that the vow we made when we got married? Abraham had such faith. He was willing to put his son up on that block and willing to sacrifice him. But you want to know something? This particular verse here, Hebrews 11:19, tells us a little something about what was going on in Abraham's head. Concluding, he believed God's promises so much that he concluded that God would raise him from the dead. Think about that. We were talking about that time period in our Bible class this morning. Had anybody been raised from the dead before? Is that something to think that might have occurred? As far as we know, nobody has been raised from the dead by that point. And yet, he concluded, he believed God so much, he said, well, if I kill my son, God is going to bring him back. And in a figurative sense, he did. He said, no, stop. Don't harm your son. Don't harm the boy. He had such faith. What kind of faith do we have? It's an adventure. It's an adventure. Let's consider Moses. Moses is the other figure in this particular passage we're going to talk about. Let's look at verses 24 through 27. 23 talks about Moses too, but Moses was a baby. Let's look at that too. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. What faith that Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents, had. They saw their child. They didn't fear the king. They didn't fear Pharaoh, who wanted to kill the boy. And they saved him. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Think about his position. He was essentially a prince of Egypt. He was raised by the son, or by Pharaoh's daughter. He had access to all the riches of Egypt. He lived a comfortable life in his first 40 years. He had access to all sorts of things, but also the passing pleasures of sin that were present there in Egypt. But he forsook them. He said, no, I'm going to follow God. In fact, when we see in Exodus, we see that he killed a man. And in Acts chapter 7, it says the reason why he killed him was because he thought that this would be the rallying cry. This would be the point where I would deliver the people of my people, the people of Israel. But in fact, that wasn't God's plan. He had to spend another 40 years in Midian. Was that crazy? Was that crazy for him to decide to forsake all the civilization, all the material wealth of Egypt and say, no, I'm going to forsake that. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to help my people. Now, he was a little reluctant, as we see in Exodus chapter 3, but eventually he did the right thing. He says he didn't fear the king. He didn't fear the king. Sometimes we're afraid to do what's right. Sometimes we're afraid if we're single and thinking about marrying someone. What is that going to be like? How is my life going to be different? If you're a faithful Christian, I can't leave. I'm stuck here. Of course, I don't think I'm stuck here. I think she's stuck with me. So, what is... it's an adventure. It's an adventure for us. What about having kids? What's that going to be like? What is our child going to be like when they grow up? Are they going to be faithful to Christ? Am I bringing up someone who will eventually spend their eternity in hell? Or am I going to do everything I can to make sure that they have every opportunity to hear the gospel and to believe the gospel? As parents, that's our responsibility. To make sure that we have that we do that for our kids. Moses did not let himself be afraid. Moses was someone who decided to do what was right. He was fearless. Once he overcame his initial reluctance, he was fearless. Wasn't he? He went before the king. I'm going to declare to you, let my people go. This is the king of Egypt. And you're telling me, who is this God that I should obey you? Well, Moses believed God. He had that faith. What about your adventure? What about your adventure of faith? We see that there are some people in the Bible who failed. We see in Numbers 14, the people of Israel, they were going to go into the promised land. They were ready to go. They sent in 12 spies to look out the land. 10 of them came back saying, no, we can't do that. There are giants in the land. We're afraid. We're afraid to do what God wants us to do. Joshua's like, they are like bread to us. We're going to eat them up. You know, Joshua and Caleb, we're going to conquer. Why? Because God said this. God promised us this. We have faith. But no, they believed the 10, and they failed. And when God said, no, you're not going to go in now because of your lack of faith, they tried to go in. They're like, oh man, oh no, what's going to happen? What do we just do? They tried to take the land, and they failed miserably because of their lack of faith. They fear the giants in the land. What happens to us if we do not overcome our fears? What happens to us if we don't overcome these things to do what God wants us to do? When we look at Hebrews 11 again, at verse 3, faith brings understanding. By hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Romans 10:17. Well, in verse 3 it says, By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Understanding conquers fear, doesn't it? Have you ever been to an amusement park? When I was a kid, I was kind of fearful of the roller coasters. I thought, well, my parents wouldn't let me go on them when I was a little kid, so I had to wait a little while. And when I decided for myself, do I want to go on these roller coasters, I was thinking, well, I'm going to be thrashed about, I'm going to be upside down, I'm going to be, oh, I don't know about that, what'll happen to me? Well, I waited in line, I thought I saw the people go in to their seats in the roller coaster, they do their thing all over the place, and then they get out just the same as they went in. Might be a little thrashed about a little bit, but they're just fine. They're not harmed, they're not maimed, they're still alive. And that happened all the time while I was waiting for that to happen. Oh, using that statistic as a little kid, I don't think I had the word statistic in my mind, but I thought, well, if all of them could go through that and be okay, why would I be different? You know, you hear stories all the time you hear stories of people who are killed in roller coasters. And you might be a little fearful of that. But what's the likelihood of something like that happening? Very low, very low. So, and that comes with understanding. I understand that the likelihood of being harmed in that situation is low. And so as a result, I go on that thing and I enjoy myself. That's the same with the adventure of faith. Not that we have an understanding that something, 50% roughly is a little less now, of marriages end in divorce. How many people who have raised children in the church how many of them are faithful? It's a very low percentage these days. So it's not because of statistics that we are not fearful. It's because we know through faith, what's at the end. One of my favorite passages is Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21. To live is Christ, to die is gain. While we're living, let us live for Christ. While we are living, let us have that adventure in faith. Let us focus our faith on Him and do what needs to be done. But to die is gain. If we should happen to die as a result of our following our adventure of faith, or in that adventure of faith, we'll have a home with God in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? We have hope. We have hope. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul quotes from Habakkuk. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Are we just? Are we going to live by faith? Are we going to have that adventure in faith? I hope we do. I hope we do. He's quoting from Habakkuk, and that's an interesting little book. Habakkuk is writing to the people of Judah, and he's saying that he's assuring the people, the remnant, the people who are supposed to be doing right. And he tells them some very interesting things. And in verse 4, "Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds." Well, that's the state that they're in. Wickedness surrounds the righteous. Isn't that the case that we're in now? Doesn't wickedness surround us? Don't wicked people surround us? Yes. We are surrounded on all sides. Perhaps they more so. Who knows? It's hard to say. Verse 5, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. I'm going to do something that you're not going to believe. This is something that is so wonderful that you're not going to believe it. Here's verse 6. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth, to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. The Chaldeans at this time were hardly anything, hardly worth mentioning. You mean these guys are going to come up and conquer us? If you're not familiar with the Chaldeans, another name for them is the Babylonians. The Babylonian Empire became one of the greatest empires of the world, especially at that time, at the time that they came in and they conquered Judah. Why was that a good thing? Well, remember in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Even when these things happen, even when you're surrounded by wickedness, even when the wickedness is conquered by the Babylonians, and you're surrounded by the Babylonians now, which, I mean, is that good or bad? Well, you live by faith. Regardless of what happens, the just live by faith. What about bringing this more home to this congregation? We are working on an effort to focus more on local evangelism. Do we sometimes fear what that might bring, at least for us personally? We actually have to talk to people. Now, for some of us, that's easy. But not for all of us. We have to talk to people. We have to share with them our faith. We have to teach the gospel to them. And for some people who may not have done that or haven't done that in a long time, that could be difficult. That could be fearful. We could be afraid of what that brings. But that's what we're called to do. Teach the gospel to every nation. Go preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. We have... There are different monuments that we have in our society, and sometimes one of the adventures we might do is go see them. Now, what is a monument? A monument is a testament to someone's, something great someone did. Well, we have monuments of faith in Scripture. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen was full of faith and power, and his story is preserved in the Bible. He has a monument of faith. Abraham, a monument of faith. Moses, a monument of faith. Stephen, you remember the women, the names of the women who protected the Israelite children in Egypt? I'll be honest, I don't remember them offhand. But they are preserved in Scripture. In Exodus chapter 1. They are a monument. Their faith preserved their names in Scripture so that generations and generations can read them later on. If you have faithful children, people who are remembering or have a remembrance of you, perhaps reading your Bible or teaching you something that you ought to be doing, or having or teaching them the Bible in some way, bringing them to church every Sunday. That's a monument to your faith in your children. If you've ever taught someone the gospel, that's also a monument to them. Some of the people who taught me the gospel, some of y'all know them. Mike Glenn helped teach me the gospel. It's a monument to him, that I'm here. And then everyone that I've taught the gospel to, a monument to me and to him. And it goes back further and further. It's an amazing thing. Do we have our own monument? Do we have our own adventure in faith? whenever we go on adventures, it's never promised to be easy. Is it? Adventures are sometimes, by definition, difficult. It wouldn't be much of an adventure if it was easy, right? We all must take up our cross and follow Him. We all must count the cost and follow Him. Abraham and Moses, they had their struggles, but they still had their faith. Stephen, we saw in scriptures, in Acts chapter 6, he was killed in the next chapter, Acts chapter 7. He had his struggles. But where did he end up? He ended up in heaven. He ended up in heaven, just as Abraham and Moses do, or have. Let us not fear. Who brings the victory for us? That's Christ, right? We have victory in Jesus. We sing that song sometimes. And that comes from 1 Corinthians 15:57. There is victory in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, what are we? More than conquerors through Christ Jesus, right? More than conquerors. Let us not be afraid. Fear sometimes hinders us from going on adventures. And that may be fine for the standard everyday adventure. I don't plan on hiking Mount Everest anytime soon. I don't particularly feel like freezing to death. But it shouldn't prevent us from doing God's will. Let us... You know, it's easy for me to say. It's easy for me to say to do God's will, because I'm up here preaching to you. It wasn't always easy for me. It may have been easier for me than for other people. In particular, my parents weren't too happy when I became a Christian. But I didn't care. I mean, I did care. They were my parents. But I decided I wanted to follow God more. What is Peter say in Acts 5:29? We ought to obey God rather than men. Let us not fear. Let us not fear what the future holds. Let us follow God now. Let us follow Christ now. And you start that journey. You start that adventure in faith by obeying the gospel of Christ. And you can do that by first hearing the gospel. And I think you've heard that today. You've heard of the faith of these great men and how we ought to have our faith in Christ. We ought to believe in Jesus, believe that He is the Son of God, and He is the Son of God. Repent of our sins. Does that mean we'll be perfect from then on? Of course not. But it's the decision to realize that you were once in a sinful state and realize that you don't want to be in that sinful state anymore. Realize that you want to live a righteous life, that you want to avoid sin and do the right thing. That's what repentance is. To have a godly sorrow, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let us have that godly sorrow. That leads to salvation. We've got to confess the name of Christ. We've got to say that He is the Son of God. It's not a special formula that we say. It's a recognition and a verbal recognition of who God is, of who Jesus is. And we've got to be baptized into Christ. When we do that, we've already died to Christ in repentance. We've already done that. If you're at that point. If you've repented, you've died to Christ. Died to the world, I should say. I apologize. Then we are buried with Him in baptism. Just as Christ died on the cross, we are buried with Him in baptism. And they were raised to walk in newness of life. Just as He was raised from the dead, we are raised to walk with newness of life. We become a new creature. If you want to make that step now, you have a chance to do that. If you want to continue that adventure of faith, perhaps you weren't doing what you're supposed to be doing in order to have that adventure. Perhaps you are faltering a little bit in that adventure and not sticking with what God wants you to do. Then you have a chance to make that right also this morning, please. If you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.